listening to Nutty Bites, now with 60% more Klingon.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of Nutty Bites.
What's awesome in the month of March?
First off, I want to talk about the fact that Nutty Bites has its very first iTunes review. Now, this iTunes review is a little interesting because basically, because our very first iTunes review is in the Canadian iTunes store, not the US iTunes store, it has made the decision of, is this a Canadian podcast or is this an American podcast? See, I'm an American. I live in Canada. Half the shows so far have been made in Canada, while the other half have been made in the States, because I travel back and forth quite a bit for work. Thanks to JRD Skinner of Flashpulp, who left me an iTunes review in the Canadian version of iTunes, we are now a Canadian podcast. If you Americans want to make this an American podcast and you want to fight for the throne, well, go on, put an iTunes review, and we'll see what happens. But I got to tell you, the Canadians, they got there first. So way to go, Canada. Oh, Canada. JRD's review was awesome, and he gave me 5 stars. And it says, a geek's eye view to an eclectic variety of topics, well brought together by the friendly and engaging Nutty. Thanks so much. You know what's awesome? People who like Star Trek, they're called Trekkie. People that listen to Sci-Fi Dig, they're called Diggers. Billy's got his snitches and Murr's got her. I can't say that word on this podcast, but we all know what Murr's listeners are. Sigler's got his junkies. There are names for listeners of podcasts, fans of different things. So what are the names of my listeners going to be? Now, I didn't really think too much about this, but it's kind of come up in conversation. There have been some suggestions. Nut jobs, nutters, mixed nuts, assorted nuts, nutcases, just plain old nuts. I don't know. What do you guys want to be called? Just like with the review, if you want to have a decision on what I end up calling my listeners, well, I need some feedback. So go to the forum, go to the blog, go to the call-in line, send me some email, whatever you got. Let me know. What do you want to be called? I don't know. We'll see what sticks. March has been a very interesting month. We've had a lot of good stuff going on here at the homestead. I've been able to stay in one place for one whole month. Yay! I have completely kicked pneumonia's butt and it is out of my system. Yay! And I've started Art Month and I will describe that later in Art Happenings. It's been a pretty good month. Gotten to get out and socialize and go to 3 of my writing groups in the area here. Things are pretty awesome. I want to talk about what's coming up in April. I know I'm supposed to be talking about what's awesome in the month of March, but let's talk about April. First, Tancid Everlost over at bitstrips.com has started an idea, much like NaNoWriMo, my recently done Art Month, and next month's Script Frenzy. She wants to do a Bitstrips month, basically make a Bitstrip a day. What's Bitstrips for those of you who are unaware? Bitstrips is a website that you don't need any drawing skills. All you need is imagination, and you can build your own webcomic. They've got this whole comic builder. It creates the people. It creates the scenery, everything. All you need is your imagination. So she wants people to write a Bitstrip a day, and more importantly, do a full series, you know, beginning, middle, and end. And I will have a link to that in the show notes. So please take a look. Look it up. I'm actually thinking about doing it. Next month is Script Frenzy, which is done by the same people that do NaNoWriMo, and you're supposed to do 100 pages in 1 month. I thought maybe I could combine the 2 monthly exercises because I could write a script for my Bitstrip series. So it all depends if in the next week I can come up with a clever idea or a plan, but we'll see. We'll see. It might not be a daily thing for me. It might be I'll post 3 times a week. You know, if I'm doing a complete series, but if I'm doing it daily, it might not be a completely linear story. It might just be random stuff. Many podcast listeners have already seen Treed's web series. That's a bit stripped, by the way. Next, Game of Thrones. It's coming out. It's going to be a series. It's on HBO and it's starting in April, April 17th, I believe. I'm so excited. Game of Thrones is the first book in a series of books called A Song of Ice and Fire, written by George R. R. Martin. The books are awesome. I highly recommend reading it before you see the series. You don't have to read them all, just read the first book. If you don't want to, fine, watch the series. Don't look at the featurettes. Don't look at anything but the official trailers, because all the featurettes are huge, huge, huge spoilers. And there are some things that you really don't want to be spoiled on. Now, if you read the book, you're going to get spoiled, but I think that you'll get more out of it reading it rather than viewing it. But to each his own. We're here. It's me, Tech, and the Serial Killer again.
Hello.
Hello.
I just want to say first off that I've been watching pretty much everything that comes out about this, and I have high hopes. I'm almost 100% happy with the casting. I'd say 90 to 95% happy with the casting. And from what I'm seeing, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be really good. You guys?
I haven't looked forward to a TV show this much since Band of Brothers for pretty much the same reasons. I think it's just the dream cast, the dream crew, the dream setting, and the buckets of money that they're throwing at this. The production values, just from what we've seen of the teasers and trailers, is going to...
And the support from HBO is amazing.
Exactly. I mean, they're going to propel this... Hopefully this series into the stratosphere, and it's going to be huge and great and fantastic and awesome. And unless George Martin happened to pull a Jar Jar Binks on us with one of his characters, which I know he didn't, but I mean, unless we're looking at a mess up of that catastrophic scale, I really don't think this can go wrong. At least I hope not.
Uh-oh, you've doomed us all.
Yes.
See, now I'm going to save us, and I'm going to say I have no expectations going into it. But this is why. I've been starving myself of every bit of media, every bit of speculation, most conversations about it, simply because I want it to be good. And by watching anything or talking about it, or even doing this, what I'm doing right now, I'm building up expectations that I probably can't live up to. Or it probably can't live up to. But given that, cable television networks make the best television.
HBO makes great shows.
HBO and Showtime are responsible for anything good I have seen in television for the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Band of Brothers, Dexter, even True Blood.
Yes, if it wasn't for television, for television networks that don't have to care about the censors so much, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have Dexter.
Yeah.
Oz, Generation Kill.
Oh, yeah.
I can go on.
Rome, any good TV, Spartacus.
Yes.
Heck, even yeah, Weeds. So. I don't watch it, but even Weeds, you know?
Oh, yes. Weeds is fantastic.
See?
So I've been going based on the simple fact that it is in that realm of creation, I'm going to be looking for good things, but I'm trying to keep myself away from it just so that I don't build up expectations that can't be met. But... on the side note, it will have a little person, potentially with an axe, and that will make me happy.
You've been waiting for that for a while.
My one thing is that when I heard about the casting for Tyrion, which is Peter Dinklage.
Tyrion.
How did I say it?
You said Tyrion, which is the dragon.
Oops. Sorry.
From
Nina Kimberly.
Nina Kimberly, the merciless.
Yeah,
right.
Nina Kimberly the Merciless. That's a great dragon. No, Tyrion, Peter Dinklage, he's a bit too attractive to play Tyrion, but he's such a good actor that he's the perfect casting.
Well, it's one of those things where you can easily just unpretty him.
Yeah, he's still good looking, at least in the first episodes. I don't know. They might ugly him up as things go on, but I don't want to get into spoiler territory. It looks really good. I have heard some complaints that people are saying that the Khal Drogo's people, what are they called?
The Dothraki.
The Dothraki. I don't know why I spaced on that. The Dothraki were supposed to be Mongolian and Mongolian-like, and that they were just too, you know, something else. And I disagree. I think that it actually looks how I pictured it. Now, did I picture it according to the descriptions? I don't know. Sometimes I don't.
They were more barbarian than... Then I thought, like, the visuals I've seen of the Dothraki, the very few visuals that I've seen, I never picked up on that thing of seeing them as Mongolians. I saw the terrain that they describe in the books that they live in, they always describe as being a desert. Yeah. So I saw them not as Mongolian horse lords, but as Arab horse lords. Mm-hmm. You know, they mention like the Arach, the sword, the scimitar, yeah. And the language they use is very Arabic sounding. So I always pictured, you know, like Moors and Sarah. You know, like with like the wraps of cloth and the Arabian horses, and
I actually pictured them to be a completely different skin tone. Like in my imagination, their flesh was not a flesh of this earth; that it was actually red. You know, kind of like Avatar people are blue, whereas the Dothraki in my head were red. So, yeah,
I don't know. I kind of always pictured them a bit Spartan too. So that's just me. They had some very Spartan practices, but it's their warrior people that drew probably upon quite a few influences. So yeah. It's kind of hard to peg them down. And I'm trusting that they did the best they could, and they've done something very, very good.
And they got a smoking hot guy playing Khal Drogo.
Sure.
Once again, haven't seen the pictures. Won't be able to judge how smoking hot he is.
Trust me, he's hot.
What show is he? Which Stargate is he from?
He's from Stargate Atlantis. He played Ronan. And according to my sister, Kaylin, who is the hugest fan of his that I know, he was also from one of her soaps, and she absolutely loved it. I think he might have been on a soap that she only watched for him or something like that. But yeah, and she's obviously a huge Stargate Universe fan. So high hopes for this. Can I expect everyone back to discuss this after at least the first episode airs, maybe two episodes?
Of course.
And we'll talk about this again. And listeners, I'm hoping that some of you would like to get in on the call as well. And maybe we can do a fun, nutty debate, nutty review, whatever, about Game of Thrones. And that will be a spoilery episode. But I will put spoiler alerts when I air it, and people that haven't watched can skip it. But hopefully we can get some more people in on this call, and I'll share our love for Song of Ice and Fire.
XK, I need a deep bass version of you just saying the words spoiler alert, so it can be added into it can be added in as a bleep. Oh my god, I really hate it. What happened to Tyrion when he spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert.
There we go.
Well, we'll do that when we record the other one. Balticon's coming up. It's in Maryland at the end of May, Memorial Day weekend for you Americans. And I will be there. My husband, Tech, will be there also. And we plan on hosting a nutty debate at Balticon. So if you want to get in on this, let me know. I'm going to record a nutty debate there. And it's going to be Terry Pratchett versus Douglas Adams. I think that'll be a lot of fun. Also, there's a bunch of other nutty debates that I'm interested in doing, things like, you know, best vampire and things of that nature. But if you have an idea for a nutty debate, just send me an email and we'll talk about it, and maybe we can get you on. Also, if you're interested in being in one of the nutty debates, let me know. So far, we've just had XK, Tech, and myself, but that's mostly because we recorded a whole bunch over Christmas.
I've reached the airlock on the derelict. It's dark inside, but the indicator says there's atmosphere. Looks like it has power and gravity, too. I'm going in. The airlock is cycling now. Pressure good. Oxygen level good. Temperature's downright comfortable. I'm taking off my helmet. I'm through the airlock into the main corridor. I can see the bridge from here. It's dark. No activity. Wait, I think I hear something. I'm heading down towards the crew quarters. Oh my.
Every week, Novellis brings you a short story, excerpt, or serial that doesn't stop at the bedroom door, or the castle gate, or the airlock. Novellis.libsyn.com.
What I'm listening to?
In the past couple of months, tuning into Sci-Fi TV is a podcast, and they have released their top 100 genre shows. Spoiler alert. If you are going to listen to this, if you hear a show that you're planning on watching but haven't seen yet, hit stop and go ahead a little bit because there are spoilers for just about every single show there. But they start out with stuff from the pilot, the clips from the pilot, so it's very easy to avoid the spoilers so you don't get spoiled right away. I mean, it's not like somebody says blank dies and then goes into their review of the movie like some infamous podcasts. So I highly recommend listening to that. Their top 100 genre shows these are their best episodes. I absolutely love it. Next, there is the MASH 4077 podcast. Now, I'm a huge MASH fan. I grew up watching MASH. I mean, the show was on forever, right? But I grew up watching it. It was some of the few television that I was allowed to watch growing up. And I watched the repeats over and over again. I could watch MASH forever. And there's a new podcast. They've got about 4 episodes out now. It's really interesting. And I think anyone who's a MASH fan should go check it out because it's the only MASH podcast out there. A little funny note, one of the hosts, his voice to me sounds a lot like young Elliot Gould, which is funny because the movie MASH had Elliot Gould in it. So I just, every time I hear him talk, I'm picturing Elliot Gould from the original movie, and it's very funny. I've gotten a bit into this band called The Heavy, and they've been around for a long time, and what alerted me to them, unfortunately, fortunately, was the trailer for the new Arkham City video game, and I love the song, and then I ended up researching their music and found that there's about 7 of their songs that I absolutely love and never really realized who did them. So I've gone on iTunes and bought a bunch of their albums now, and I highly recommend you look them up. Also, Bobby McFerrin. I've always been a fan of Bobby McFerrin. I could listen to some of his music over and over again. My favorite is the music, and you can't get it just on its own. The music for the Pixar short Knick Knack, which is the snowman in the snow globe who wants to go into with the mermaid in her snow globe, and it's awesome. But I'm going to put a link in the show notes to, it's a thing that was on PBS. It's where Bobby McFerrin hacks the audience, and he explains math through music. It's really interesting. And I love when he hacks the audience. It, you know, he gets them each singing different parts and then they become his instrument. You know, Bobby plays the human.
There is nothing wrong with your television set.
Sarah Jane Smith.
How do you do, Miss Smith?
You're the Slayer and we're like the Slayerettes.
Gentlemen, I suggest you beam me aboard.
Chevron 7 locked.
Flight calm, I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking.
You are the one. Who was?
By your command.
Oh, boy.
Found me dead.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
Because you are the true seeker.
If someone ever tries to kill you, you try to kill him right back.
Forty-two!
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Michael, I thought I'd never see you again.
Missed it by that much.
Then try to tell yourself, wherever you may be, it couldn't happen here.
Come with me if you want to live.
Welcome to the top 100 genre television shows of all time, as voted by you, the fans. Check out the countdown at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Psst.
I heard on Twitter.
15 top writing guides for novelists. The link will be in the show notes. Thank you, Aurora Lee. Christiana Ellis says, K-Sunny, you're game pusher. That's what you are. First D&D, then Pokemon. Next thing I know, I'm turning tricks for unpainted miniatures. There's been a lot of discussion on Twitter over indie or self-publishing versus traditional or New York City publishing. Some people get kind of heated and some people take things personally. The thing is, like everything else, not everything's going to work for everybody. Rather than get into it here and make this podcast go very, very long, I'm just going to say, if somebody wants to self-publish or be an indie publisher, it's not hurting the publishing industry. Because generally, these are people that are not being asked to publish through the publishing industry. That's not to say that they couldn't be, just that it's not happening at the moment. If you're an indie publisher or a self-publisher, people who are publishing through traditional means or are trying to go that way, they're not hurting you either. There's a whole new market out there. There's a whole new world. There's different things. The ebooks have changed things. I know someone specifically who has told me that she's just reading self-published novels right now. The last couple of months, all she's done has been reading self-published novels. And you know what? That's great, because it's exposing her to some new authors that she wouldn't normally find in a regular bookstore. And with the birth of e-publishing, it's very easy to self-publish. It's very easy to get your work out there. And often, it doesn't cost very much. You know, instead of having to deal with all this overhead, you can just get your book out there, see if people enjoy it. And when it comes down to it, an artist is an artist, and writers are artists. And as an artist, you want to share your work. Sure, you could write manuscript after manuscript and never show it to anyone, but you want to share it. You know, that's kind of why we do it. So all the power to you, whether you're traditional or self-publishing or indie or whatever. Do what works for you. You're not hurting anybody. And calm down. Concentrate on your own work. Don't worry about the other people. It's not affecting you. I've also noticed there's quite a few new imaginary tweeters out there. These are people that are, well, basically they're Twitter accounts for characters. And I have a lot of fun with them. I'm highly tempted in following the Richard Castle one, but since I generally don't watch that the night of, I'm afraid that the tweets might spoil me. I'm also really enjoying one particular vampire Twitter out there. It's Nigel Isidore, having lots of fun with that. And that Twitter account has sparked several other new fake tweeters. And so it's a lot of fun. And Rory says, rawr. Rory the Dragon, he approves of all these imaginary tweeters.
Heidi! Heidi! Hey!
John, what happened to you? You look awful.
I had an accident, but I'll be okay. Listen, I...
Where have you been? You're late for recording.
That's what I wanted to tell you. Listen, I was hanging a clock in the bathroom, and I slipped and I hit my head on the toilet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I blacked out for a bit. When I came to, I had an epiphany. You know that show on ABC, Castle?
What?
You know, Castle. It's that murder mystery show starring Nathan Fillion. Everyone loves it. Come on, keep up.
I'm familiar with it, yes.
Okay, well, I was thinking, you may want to sit down for this.
I am sitting.
Oh, well, then I'll sit. I was thinking we should do a podcast about Castle.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm serious. We could do a weekly podcast wherein we talk about the latest news involving the series, its cast and crew.
John.
Follow that with a recap and review of the latest episode, with emails, voicemails, and a Twitter poll.
John.
And you know what else? We can even have a music appreciation segment featuring actual score pieces from the show by its composer, Robert Duncan.
Seriously, John?
Then we can wrap up the show with spoilers.
John.
Yes?
We already have a Castle podcast.
Really?
Yes, really. It's called castlecast.net. Don't you remember?
Ooh, good name. We should grab it before someone else does.
Oh, for the love of...
What? You got a better idea?
Maybe you should go to the hospital. I think you might have a concussion.
Don't be silly. I'm fine. What I should really do right now is go make some album art for the podcast in iTunes. Bam, said the lady.
CastleCast.net, the original fan podcast all about the ABC series Castle.
Hey, Heidi, you'll never guess what I saw outside just now. A double rainbow.
Yep, definitely a concussion.
What I'm reading.
I'm currently in the middle of rereading Game of Thrones. Yes, the book that's being turned into an HBO series. Normally, I don't reread books because it takes me a really long time to read books, and I retain pretty much everything. I retain about 90 to 90% of everything that I read. So often, rereading a book, it's like deja vu, you know? So a book has to be written really well for me to reread it. And I'm having a lot of fun rereading this book. It's written so well. And the thing that I love about the way that Martin writes these books is that each chapter's from a different point of view. So in one chapter, you may be reading about the Starks, which is one family. And in another chapter, you may be reading about the Lannisters, which is another family. Or sometimes you'll just switch from Stark character to Stark character. And you'll often see certain situations from two different angles. And as you're reading it, you get so engrossed with the character that you're on their side. So one minute you're on the Stark side and the other minute you're on the Lannister side. And you're constantly switching back and forth. And normally you'd think that would make you dizzy and it wouldn't work. But Martin writes so masterfully that it just works. Am I a fangirl? Yeah, I'm a big old fangirl. But you know what? If I can reread this, it just tells you how good this book is. The other thing that I've been reading, it's a blog, Vox in a Box. If you go to my blog friends list on the blog, you will see Vox in a Box is a webcomic out there. Take a look. It's really interesting. And his other blog is daddyweightloss.com. And it's really interesting and a lot of fun. And he's got a lot more action and conversation going on his Facebook group. I highly recommend giving it a read.
What I'm watching.
I've seen the show The Hard Times of R.J. Berger on Much. It's on MTV in the U.S. before, but I never watched all of it. I still haven't watched all of it, but Much was running a marathon, and I watched most of the episodes from like the third in, I think, to the end of the first season. And I highly recommend people going, taking a look, watching it. It's really funny, and I really do enjoy it. There's something about it that I pretty much enjoy. I'm kind of afraid that one of the characters won't come back next season. You know that new animated show, Bob's Burgers? You know, it isn't half bad, actually. Like, I've watched it a couple of times. I didn't think I'd like it. The commercials made it look really stupid. But after watching a couple of the episodes, it's pretty funny. Give it a shot. It's right after Simpsons. Why not?
Images, scents, music. These are some of the strongest triggers of the memory and imagination. Everything was so clear, making our ears tingle with glee.
Take a photograph and show it to someone. Will they focus on the subject? Is it someone or some place they know?
His mind was somewhere in an old temple.
Is there something that catches their eye in the background?
If they know nothing of the people or places within, will they imagine their own stories behind them?
The lady launched herself at him as if shot from a gun, almost tackling him in the process.
Is that girl smiling because she's in love, or because she's happy with her new red shoes?
Is the car sitting by the road abandoned, or has the driver run out in search of his lost dog?
The reason I'm here is that there has been an incident last night. There has been a murder.
On the first Sunday of every month, we'll present a photograph on this site and follow it up with two short stories inspired by it from this website, everyphototells.com.
Art happenings?
As I said in the last episode, March is Art Month, and it's gone really well this year for me. Every day so far, I've been able to create something, post it online. I think once I didn't post it online until the next day because I was so tired, I just couldn't even bother scanning it. But, you know, it's really nice. It's kind of centered me. I've, you know, sometimes if I'm just so crazy-headed, like yesterday, I did this crane drawing, and I did a drawing of an origami crane, and I was just, my head was all over the place, and I had a million deadlines, but I sat down, and I started drawing, and by the time I finished my drawing, everything was calm, and it was cool, and it was zen-like, and I got a million things done after I took that time and just did that. So that's been really cool. And I'm continuing to do this until Easter because it's not just for the month of March for me in particular. It's part of my Lent practice, so to speak. Instead of giving something up, I'm taking something on. And so I will continue to do it. But it seems that I didn't really infect anyone else to do it this year, but maybe next year. I will say, though, that I've discovered quite a few art blogs and stuff. Like, I'm really enjoying what's on Cynical Woman's blog, and I've got a couple of things linked from the site, so go take a look at that. But, you know, maybe next year. Maybe there'll be more people interested in doing Art Month next year. We will not be forgotten, us visual artists.
This is Richard Green, a.k.a. Mainframe, of the Geek Out with Mainframe podcast, and you are listening to Nutty Bites.
Feedback! So we got two things to mention here. In addition to our great iTunes review, I was featured on the Nifty Tech blog Follow Friday. There will be a link in the show notes to that. It's a really great write-up that Doc Coleman did, and he talks about the podcast, and it's really interesting, so please take a look at it. VoxBoxComics.com has a write-up about me and the podcast also, so take a look over there. I'm going to have a link in the show notes. Also, the nutty debate of who do you think is the most ineffectual character in sci-fi. That was the last episode's debate. We published an amendment just this past week to it. The discussion and the debate continues on the forums. Please go to nimloss.org/blog to get the link.
But I think I'm going to put this in the future.
I have produced a piece of nutty fiction, but it's supposed to be a short story, but it's kind of long, and it ended up being about 45 minutes. So rather than put that in this episode, I'm going to release it next week as a bonus feature. So you will not have a nutty debate, and you will not have nutty fiction in this particular episode, but it will be showing up in the feed next week. See, I think that's what I'm going to do from now on, is I'm going to try to add some more bonus content in between episodes so people have some more things. But also, if for some reason the regular show ends up going too long, or if the debate is too long, I'll just cut down the show or I'll release them separately because I don't want to release anything that's longer than, say, 45 minutes. I want to make sure that it can go onto a CD because I know at least one of my listeners burns my episodes to CD. So I am being mindful of that. So please look forward to the nutty fiction coming soon. I previewed the first scene for my writing group last night, and they all were really excited. They especially liked the voice actors that I got. Yeah, I got a couple of people doing voices for me. So stay tuned. You can contact me at nuttybites@nimlast.org or call the number 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-9942. Or visit the blog at nimlast.org/blog. You can also go to the forums. The link is directly on the blog. This podcast has been created by Nimlast Studios. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. The music you've heard today is by The Heavy. Check them out on iTunes.